you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Well, the 900-pound gorilla in the room just gained a few LBs, didn't he? Oh, if you didn't hear last week's show, then you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? So I guess I should retrace my steps a little bit. I started out last week's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show by talking about the 900-pound gorilla in the room, as in the Astros. And at that point in time, we were going through the ups and downs of the ALDS against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Now, by the way, I'm sorry to run off in the weeds with this, but this whole matter of dropping the devil and devil rays is just another example of political correctness run amok. Somebody somewhere decided that devil rays sounded too sinister or evil, so the ball club was pressured into dropping the devil and just becoming the Tampa Bay Rays. That just might be the most inane, stupid, senseless case of political correctness ever. Did anybody think to ask the actual devil rays what they thought? Of course, I'm being outrageously facetious, but really, it's a sea creature. It's a stingray. It's called a devil ray. We don't hear anybody suggesting we need to change its name, do we? So why is a baseball team's nickname so offensive? This stuff is just silly. Who cares? A bunch of get-their-panties-in-a-wad enviro idiots? I guarantee you the actual devil rays don't care. And most people don't care either. They just want to see good baseball. Now, I'll admit Redskins is offensive, and I don't even think that's debatable. How does a name like the Redskins go unchanged in a city like Washington, D.C.? Heck, Washington is the home of political correctness. Political correctness was invented in Washington, D.C. And how the city fathers have allowed that name to stay in place all these years is just mind-boggling to me. And if you think Redskins is not offensive, consider this. Detroit is by far the biggest American city with the largest percentage of African-American citizens. Baltimore and New Orleans are not far behind. But what do you think would be the reaction if the NFL team in Detroit or Baltimore or New Orleans called themselves the Blackskins? San Francisco has a high percentage of Asian Americans as citizens. So how do you think people would feel about their team being called the Yellowskins? And even those are not really adequate comparisons because Redskins is a really old pejorative used to describe Native Americans. It dates back hundreds of years. And the corresponding terms we usually associate with African Americans and Asian Americans, yeah, those are way too offensive for me to even say on the air, so I'm not going to cross that line. But yeah, I think you get my point, right? Redskins is an insulting term. It's always been intended as a derogatory way to refer to Native Americans. And I can understand why they hate it so much. But devil rays? Really? This whole concept of politically correct or incorrect sports mascots has just gotten way out of hand, or at least I think so. Atlanta Braves. At least they admit they have courage. Or the Cleveland Indians. Somehow the Cleveland Native Americans just doesn't have the same ring to it. And there are dozens of college mascots that are named after Native American tribes that are found in their particular parts of the country, like the Florida State Seminoles, or the Illinois Fighting Illini, the San Diego State Aztecs, and there are lots more. I can understand how Native American people could get upset about some of those names, too. But in some cases, leaders have given their permission to the schools to use their tribal names as mascots. So some people just need to cool their jets. Yeah, Redskins is one thing. But the Utah Utes? By the way, in case you didn't know, tribal leaders have granted their blessing to the use of that name. And after all, they named the whole darn state after the Ute tribe. So what should we call them? The Utah Indigenous Peoples? Yeah, Redskins is one thing, but Devil Rays? Come on, people, get a life. You're not promoting devil worship by naming your baseball team after a fish. It kind of makes you thankful our teams have names like Texans, Rockets, and Astros, doesn't it? Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on such a tangent. Yes, I did. The Astros were what I started out wanting to talk about, but now I've spent so much time talking about this idiotic notion that we need to rename all our sports teams with more politically correct mascots, I don't have time to talk about the Astros. I'll just leave it at Go Astros and hope for the best this weekend. But I will say this, the Washington Nationals, now there's a politically neutral nickname. The Washington Nationals are sitting around fully rested and ready for the World Series, and I must admit that makes me a little nervous. Of course, at the same time, it could work against the Nationals, because baseball players have a routine, and all this downtime is a serious interruption of that routine, so you never know. What I do know is that last week's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show couldn't have been more timely and topical, because it is a great time of year for sports watching, isn't it? Well, for instance, how about them Texans? That win in Kansas City, well, it was nothing short of epic. It was awesome. And you know how I feel about the overuse of the word awesome. And last week's Texans game proves my point about how many good sports options we have to juggle this time of year. Because the Texans and Chiefs played at exactly the same time as my grandson Liam was playing in a select baseball playoff series. And you know me, I'm not going to miss any game my grandson's playing in, if I can help it. So I set our DVR to record the Texans and Chiefs, and Cindy and I headed out to the Little League fields. When we got there, one of the other kids' dads was listening to the Texans game on the radio, but luckily he was using earbuds. I told him, I don't want to know anything about the game. I'm going to go home and watch it on the DVR. So he was very nice. Just to make sure he didn't give anything away, he walked out to the outfield fence and watched the kids play from there and continued listening to the Texans on the radio. Then, as luck would have it, the kids won their first game by about 12:45 or so, and there was a two-hour break before the next game. So Cindy and I drove home, it's just a few miles away, and we watched the Texans while we ate lunch. Of course, we could fast-forward through the commercials, so we got to see everything up to and including the go-ahead touchdown by Deshaun Watson, and that was about 6 minutes left in the game at that point. But it was time to leave and go watch Liam play the second select baseball game, so we paused the DVR and headed back to the Little League fields. They lost the second game, but at one point I saw this dad who had been listening on the radio, so I asked him, do you know how the Texans game ended? He nodded his head yes, and before he could say a word, I just said, I don't want to know, I shouldn't have even asked. He laughed. And we both agreed that we were just impressed and happy that the Texans had played well. Then, of course, Cindy and I went home and saw the end of the game on the DVR. Ah, the things we do to watch our favorite sports teams, eh? But like I was saying, it just goes to show how timely and topical last week's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show was. What to serve your guests at a sports watching party in your home. Because we have so much sports to watch this time of year. And that brings us around to this week's show. October is not just football, baseball, basketball, and Halloween. It's also National Seafood Month. And that's the perfect topic for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, right? I hope by now I don't need to tell you that Boyd's one stop at the base of the Texas City Dyke is the one and only place you should go to shop for the perfect seafood to cook at home, because Boyd's Seafood Market always has the freshest of the fresh fish. Say that five times real fast. However, no fresh fish is fresher than the fish you just pulled out of the water. So I know many of our listeners prefer to catch what they cook, and that's where our guest comes in on this week's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. His name is Javier Castillo. He's a professional fishing guide, and it just so happens he's written a really cool cookbook for all kinds of seafood. In fact, I even grilled up some seafood this past week, salmon. Not only to honor National Seafood Month, but to please my wife. She really loves salmon. However, I'd really like to try some new and unique kinds of seafood, so we'll talk to Javi about that in the first 2 seconds. But rest assured, it won't be Devil Ray.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's. Conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint, and hardware all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We turn now to an expert fishing guide from Bishop, Texas. His name is Javier Castillo. How are you, Javier?
I'm doing great.
Well, first up, we understand you go by the nickname Javi. Is it okay for us to call you that?
Absolutely. That's what everybody knows me as.
Well, I was just checking to be sure. Some people don't like their nicknames. Like me, for instance, my wife calls me idiot all the time.
Yeah, I get that a bit from mine. I think we all do.
Yeah, of course we do. Well, anyway, start out by telling us where you were born and where you were reared, where you went to school, all that kind of stuff.
All right. I was born in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I went to high school at Moody High School, which is where my father was a baseball coach over there for 27 years. I believe he is the second winningest baseball coach in Texas history.
Cool.
Second to his good friend, Steve Chapman at Cal Allen, who just hit 1,000 wins in his career. And I don't know how many state titles they have between them total. And then from there, I went to college, and I played my first 2 years at San Jac Junior College in Pasadena, and finished up my school at Oklahoma Christian in Edmond.
Well, where did you develop your love for fishing? Dad, granddad, anything like that?
My dad. He was a bait fisherman, but he liked to sight cast drum and redfish. And I started fishing, 8 to 15, 16 inches of water, sight casting redfish. And the way I learned was under a torpedo float or directly on a jig head, just dead shrimp. And we wouldn't cast until we saw fish. I still enjoy the stock fish, and people sometimes when they come with me, they're like, man, you walk a lot. And I tell people that right off the get-go. I ask a lot more questions when you book with me versus some other guides because I wade some very muddy areas. And if there's some people that can't handle it physically, I just need to know. I'm always on or trying to be on multiple schools of fish, and I just want my clients to be comfortable when we're on the water. There's fishing guides, and then there's fishing tour guides. You get a fishing tour guide with me.
Well, a lot of us enjoy drowning worms, but making the leap to being a professional fishing guide from just fishing on the weekends, that's quite a leap. So how did you become a guide?
I've had my license for 11 years, and I got it back when I was still working in the oil field, and I was just running trips when I was on my days off. And when I met my wife, Alicia, she was traveling a lot, and I was traveling a lot, and we were just dating at the time, and we just made the decision that if we were going to get married, that we both needed to settle down, and she's done hair, she has her own salon for 17, 18 years, and when we decided to get married, I just walked away from the oil field overnight. I just said, I'm going to cash in, I'm going to turn around, and I want to start this guide business, and I hit the ground running, and I haven't stopped. I run, I imagine, anywhere between 280 to 300 days a year. If I could run 365 days, I would.
Well, most guides concentrate on one bay system, but Javi is kind of unique. He covers four different bay systems. What are they, Javi?
Corpus Christi. I launch also out of Port Aransas or Aransas Pass. And also cover Port Mansfield and Baffin Bay.
Well, why do you feature so many different bay systems in your guide service?
Well, I lived on the island prior to living out in Bishop, but I moved out to Bishop to centralize myself in order to be able to do that. If I stayed only on the island, then I'm only taking customers that want to be on the island. My home's an hour and 15 minutes from Mansfield, which isn't bad. And when you're ex-oil field, an hour and 15 on the highway is an easy drive. I'm 40 minutes to Corpus, 12 minutes to launch out of Rivera and Baffin Bay, and I'm an hour and 15 to Port Aransas or Aransas Pass. So I can cater to a lot more clients being willing to accommodate and drive to them versus them driving to me. Sometimes, if the conditions are bad, I'll have them drive 20 or 30 minutes to a different boat ramp simply so we don't get beat up if it's going to be too windy or the conditions are just coming out of a different direction. It's hard to foresee. That's the hardest thing about guiding is, you book people months in advance, and then you know, you get thrown a curveball last minute. You got to, you just have to adjust.
Well, does each bay system offer different species of fish, or are they fairly universal?
No, they're all fairly universal. The snook factor comes into play in Mansfield area a lot more than Corpus. Although we caught four out of Baffin Bay this year, one being a keeper, which we didn't keep. We released. There's definitely more drum in the Baffin and Corpus Christi area versus the Mansfield that I've seen. But it's generally snook, trout, flounder, drum, and redfish is what we're chasing. But from November until June 1, depending on how we get and how fast, those are trout trips. That's trout season. 95% of my trips are wading trips. Everybody fishes different. Every guide fishes different, whether they fish with lures or fish with bait or fish under a popping cork. I run bait as well, but I run shrimp and popping cork or dead shrimp. I don't run any pinfish myself. It's just the style of fishing that I do. I prefer artificials, and I'd say probably 75% of my trips are 100% artificial. When I started this business, I told myself that I'm going to teach people to fish the way that I fish and enjoy fishing the way that I've learned, not make it feel like work and be stuck. For me, staying in a boat all day drives me nuts. I can handle drift fishing. I have a lot of elderly clients. Drift fishing will be very productive as well. But just to anchor up, that's few and far between in my boat. We pull up in a spot, and most of the water I'm fishing is anywhere between 10 inches to waist deep. I don't like to wade deep. I may throw deep, but I'm not going to stand in deep water, you know, pressing my waders on water coming over.
Well, now, you mentioned learning how to fish, and there may be members of our audience who are just learning how to saltwater fish, or maybe a parent who would like to introduce their child to saltwater fishing. What advice would you give them?
On their first trip, hire a guide. Not because I'm one, hire any guide. Of course, do your homework on how successful they are, but a lot of kids get turned off on fishing because their parents take them to a pier, a public pier, or off the bank, and they don't catch anything, and it's hot, and they're covered in sand, and the first impression is everything. You have to have a successful trip and leave that set in stone with them. That way they get that drive, and they want to continue to do that, and it's fun for them. Even if they're catching small fish, you know, just undersized trout or undersized redfish, at least they're busy, and they're happy. Kids are happy just to catch anything. Even hardheads most of the times, you know. The worst thing is to take a kid over and over and over and not catch anything. They just don't want to do it anymore. I've come to see a lot of that, even people in their 30s. I have my three good fishermen, and they'll bring this one buddy that doesn't fish very much. You know, if I got four, generally two of them or three of them are good, and then there's that one guy that I keep by my hip because I need to make sure he's good, you know?
Yeah.
If he hooks a catfish, I don't want him to reach over and grab it. Or if he hooks into a big trout, I don't want him to over-muscle it and pull the hooks because that'll also leave an impression on people.
And let's say we did bring in that big catch, but we struggle with the best way to take care of the fish once it's been caught. What's your best advice on how to keep it fresh?
Best thing to do is directly on ice. I like to add a little bit of water. I use block ice. I throw two blocks in there with a little bit, turn on my pump in the back. I use my live well in the transom, and that way it's like an ice bucket. And the faster you can get that blood to freeze over and everything, you'll notice a difference. If you catch trout and it's June and you wade for 2 hours with some fish and they die on you, the meat becomes cloudy. And if you put them directly on ice, say you make a 30-minute wade, you get back, you put them directly on ice, and you clean them, the meat stays clean and it's clear.
Well, this has been a fascinating segment, and I've already learned more about saltwater fishing than I ever knew in the first place. But we understand you're also quite the seafood chef. So can you stick around for another segment? Let's talk about how we cook our catch.
Absolutely.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old plane right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back now with Javi Castillo, one of the Upper Texas Gulf Coast's most respected saltwater fishing guides. And we're talking about catching, and now we're going to talk about cooking fresh seafood. So, Javi, we've been told by multiple sources that you are just as passionate about cooking seafood as you are about catching it in the first place. So where'd you get your passion for cooking?
It started actually with my mom. She taught me how to cook basic stuff in the oven, just baking, slow cooking stuff and pot roast. And then when I went to the school, I took some culinary classes just because I enjoyed it. I took it just first semester, and then I just continued to do it all through my college career. It's my other way of release, especially if I don't fish. That's my way of meditating. Or at the end of the day, for me, I cook probably there's a handful of days, literally 5 to 7 days in a year that I don't cook.
Well, Javi is so dedicated to creative ways to prepare what he catches that he's actually written a cookbook. How long did it take you to compile this cookbook, Javi?
Probably 4 months. And it was a surprise. It was actually one of my clients. Got an email out of nowhere. And she keeps up with all my Facebook posts and inboxes me on how to cook some of this stuff. And she sent me 60 recipes that I had done. I didn't know that she was keeping tabs on them. And said, we're going to do a cookbook. This is what it's going to be. I want recipes to these. Well, good cooks don't measure. I don't bake. We throw things in, we taste as we go. Most of the times, by the time when I'm done cooking, I'm already full because I want it to be right for everybody that's sitting down to eat. So I'm constantly tasting everything that's going on. And so I had to go through and everything that she sent me, I had to re-cook everything and actually use measuring cups and teaspoons and everything just to get it right. One thing different about this cookbook, I've never seen a cookbook that actually does this. Mine goes into detail. Mine is a full paragraph, step-by-step, play-by-play, why we're doing this, what do you do next? Because most cookbooks, you open it up, it's a beautiful picture of something, and it's just a slab of ingredients right next to it. It doesn't tell you the process. The process is what shies people away from cooking, and people are very, I've noticed since I started putting posts up that I didn't realize that people were that afraid to cook or just didn't even want to attempt because they didn't want to mess anything up. It's really not that hard. It's just, I'm selling more, the cookbook is, it's a process, and that's what people are missing, and that's what most cookbooks are missing is the ingredients, great. The process is what people were missing the whole time.
So what's the name of the book, Javi?
It's going to be Captain Javi Castillo's Cook Your Catch.
Now, this cookbook was released a year ago this month, but we understand you actually completed it earlier last year. So why the delay?
Hurricane Harvey.
Oh, my.
The lady that helped me put it together is a Houston resident, and we were about 90% done. And the lady's awesome lady, big heart, you know, and she just, her and her husband, they were so busy helping other people, even though they had damage as well. It was no use for me to even think or to press it to try and get it out. We were trying to get it out last October. And I said, you know what? Instead of us just pushing it through, take your time, you know, take and do what you need to there in Houston, and let's go and add some more recipes throughout the year and really make sure that the cookbook comes out right.
So where will it be available for purchase?
It'll be online. It'll be through Facebook. I've been in contact with a few people over at HEB. I'm trying to get it in there. I'll try to get it in the local Barnes & Nobles. We'll see how that goes. More than likely, I'll have to show some type of solid sales before they take it on. But from what I saw prior to the hurricane, it's looking like 500 to 700 pre-orders once I announce it, at least. I'm hoping it goes good, and I hope most people enjoy it. There's a lot of little things. Just last week, or actually it was just 3 days ago, I had clients, and they asked me to make them ceviche because I always saw it. And so I took everything that I would need for ceviche. We went out and fished. They were staying at a local hotel, and right there in the lobby, I made them fresh ceviche.
Wow.
And not a little bit, like probably, I'd say it was, a gallon. It was a gallon solid. I made two separate ones because they took one quart back. They were leaving that same day. They took one quart back to their family, and then another quart they went ahead and enjoyed for themselves on the drive back.
Yeah. Well, this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, so let's get down to some cooking. And you mentioned ceviche, so tell us how you make your ceviche.
I prefer redfish because it stays a little bit more plump, because I like to eat mine on at least after 8 hours or even the next day, because all the seasonings, they get absorbed into the meat better, into the fish. It's real easy. You just flay your fish out. You can use trout or flounder, whatever you like. I like redfish. Cut it into little centimeter squares in your flays. Throw them in a bowl. And I usually use two fillets, or one whole redfish, just two fillets, quarter it off into little centimeters, squeeze fresh lemon juice, and add pink Himalayan sea salt. You have to have enough lemon juice to cover the top of the fish that you have put in there. And it'll become milky with that pink Himalayan sea salt, and it's just cooking the fish. And if there's any bacteria or anything, it'll also kill it. I set that in the fridge, cover it with foil, and set it in the fridge for at least 3 hours. Like I said, I prefer mine to sit overnight and then eat it the next day, really chilled. And then you get your pico de gallo, which is just your cilantro, tomato. I like both onions in it, sweet yellow for the taste, and then the red onion for the little bit of spice that comes out of it. And then I like mine with habanero pepper. One, you can put less in it. Two, you know what you're dealing with when you cut into a habanero pepper. It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Jalapenos are very inconsistent. They can taste like bell peppers, and they can also taste like ghost peppers. So I prefer either serrano peppers or habanero, which is what I use. And so once you have your fish and you cook it for 3 hours in the fridge, drain all that lemon juice that you just put out. It'll take you 2 hours to cut everything up while that fish is cooking anyways. Once you drain it, add your pico de gallo into the fish and mix it all together. Once you mix it all together, you're going to squeeze fresh lime juice. Lemon's very tart, very acidic, and it's hard on your stomach, and it kind of ruins the flavor if you ask me. The lemons are a little sweeter, especially if you can get your hands on Meyer lemon or Meyer limes. I like those because they're sweet. And then your seasonings are dillweed, which is a given on seafood. Dillweed is amazing. Black pepper, and what everybody was freaking out the other night when I added it was oregano, powdered oregano.
Now, why do they freak out over oregano?
Oregano, you think oregano and you think Mexican food, not for ceviche. The other thing that I like to add in it is fresh rosemary. Not a lot, just a little bit, because rosemary is very pungent and it travels throughout the meat, especially if you leave it for a couple hours in the fridge.
There it is. It's ceviche from Javi Castillo, one of the best saltwater fishing guides on the Upper Texas Gulf Coast. Do you have any social media you'd like to tell us about, Javi?
I have Facebook. It's under Captain, which is just CAPT-Javi, JAVI, Castillo.
So what number should our listeners call to hook up a trip with you?
Area code 361-815-4865.
Thanks for sharing some of your invaluable information with us, Javi. You're always welcome to come back anytime you like. Okay, pal?
You got it, bud. Thank you very much. And thank you to Boyd Seafood for taking care of everybody on the Texas coast.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
Well, this is going to be fun today. We've cried in our beer about the Texans' losses this year, so I guess it's time to celebrate. Here's my old Hudson and Harrigan buddy on the radio, Fred Olson. Hey, Pard, how you doing?
Well, better than last time we talked. We were talking about how everything's in disarray, and now we look around and go, boy, Laramie Tunsil?
Yeah.
Laramie Tunsil, who is going, oh, this is what a winning team is like.
Yeah.
You know, playing on the offensive line. And they have getting some time to gel and play. And some of these draft picks are looking pretty darn good, plug and play.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun is just, he's on another level. He really is.
He is.
And I was reading about this concept where O'Brien basically said, okay, here are the keys. Go do it. You read it.
Mm-hmm.
You do it. And
yeah,
there was that 4th-and-3.
Right. Yep.
Which was critical. It was crucial.
Right.
Against an offensive powerhouse that potentially is the KC Chiefs, right? So Deshaun looks at what they're calling man. And he sends Fuller in motion, along with DeAndre, at a time when those two cover men didn't know who to cover.
Right.
And in that meantime, the pass was delivered before they could figure out where they were going to take their next step. Boom, 4th and 3 was converted. And I went, wow. I said, that's great. That's something we never would have tried before. It wouldn't have worked. But it's just fun to watch them because, you know, they were down 17-3, and I'm going, you know what? It doesn't bother me anymore. Because
I don't know, it was bothering me an awful lot, Fred.
Well, I was watching Carlos Hyde, who is a beast against his former team. He doesn't run around you.
Nope.
He runs over you.
Yeah, yeah. He's a powerful runner.
And he had a lot to prove. So that old thing about, you know, you get a player with a chip on his shoulder against his old team, it sure looked like it to me.
Well, I'm not smart enough to know the answer to this question, but there are a lot of people out there who are asking, is this win over the Chiefs the most impressive win of the Bill O'Brien era? What say you?
Well, I think that we have had trouble in the past beating good quarterbacks. You look at the stats on it, and it's kind of mind-numbing. You go, wow, we really aren't that good against quality quarterbacks, especially since O'Brien's era started. And this was, going in, I would have thought, it'll be close, but we're not going to probably win, not in their house.
I didn't think so.
The odds favor them. They said they were favored by 5.
Mm-hmm.
And usually any home team's favored by 3 minimum, right? So if they're decent, and I thought, wow, they'll never do it. And then I started watching, I thought, these guys are possessed.
Well, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was guilty of being a serious skeptic about Bill O'Brien's ability to game plan and to scheme, but it was because of that awful loss to Carolina.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to call him out for a bad performance, I've got to be willing to give him credit for a good one. And this, the Chiefs game, was a really good one.
Yeah, it looked like that offense looked just great, and the defense is just good enough to get things done. And I went to Sean Gibson against Kelce. I mean, that was a dogfight every play. If you look close-ups, I mean, that's why they got him. That's why they brought him in from Jaguars, because he could play against Kelce really well. And he did, man. He confused him. And Kelce, you know, still got his passes, but not like he normally would. And Roby, I'm sorry, he's out for a few weeks. But, man, he's great.
Well, you talk about that defense. It absolutely disappeared against the Panthers. But it showed up in aces in the second half in Arrowhead. Chiefs had just over 50 yards of total offense in the third quarter. They had -4 yards in the fourth quarter. Romeo Crennel smoked Andy Reid in the second half. And a lot of people think Andy Reid is an offensive genius.
Well, it didn't look like it on Sunday. I think maybe they might have taken us for granted, or they knew where their faults were, and we certainly took advantage of them. And it was wonderful to see these, you know, like Amenahu. I mean, he got that strip sack. And I mean, they've drafted some potential here. And it's nice. And I was talking to somebody yesterday in the gym. He came up. Normally we just wave at each other, but he wanted to talk about the Texans. He goes, he takes his headphones out. He goes, okay, let's start talking. And about, you know, and I said, well, we don't have any draft picks, number ones. He goes, well, look at that. I mean, look at the crapshoot that is. It looks the crapshoot it's been for us in the last number of years.
Yeah.
And the money it costs to maintain them and all that kind of stuff. And then, and plus we'll get a compensatory, won't we, for Clowney?
Yes.
I believe we'll throw like a third round pick there. So, anyway, I'm just happy to see what they're doing, and hard times have fallen on the Jaguars and also the Titans, and it's just breaking my heart.
Yeah, it's just heartbreaking, isn't it? Yeah. Especially Tennessee. I just love Tennessee so much. I want to see them do so well. Not.
Well, Mariota's not going to get renewed. He's done, he's not a bad quarterback. Just he's had a new OC, offensive coordinator, every year he's been there.
Well, the only serious or semi-serious bad news is the two injuries. You mentioned Tytus Howard's knee and Bradley Roby's hamstring.
Mm.
But neither one of those appear to be season-ending, so we've got that to be thankful for. Roderick Johnson seemed to do a pretty good job at right tackle, but who's going to take Roby's place? I mean, J.J.O. is still out.
Yeah.
And Roby was the best corner we had on the roster. He's going to be a lot harder to replace.
Yeah, but for some reason, I think the next few games we got are not terrible.
Well, I don't know. Indy's going to be pretty tough. You know, we never went up there.
Yeah. It'll be a shootout. It'll be a lot of fun to watch. And then I think we get the Jaguars again.
Yeah.
And I can't count who the next, gosh, what the next one is. But anyway, it's not horrible.
Well, I think one of the most impressive statistics of that game last weekend was the time of possession.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it was pretty obvious that the game plan was to run the ball first. And again, we got to give O'Brien credit for sticking with the game plan. Even when the Texans fell behind by two touchdowns in the first half, they just kept feeding Carlos Hyde, and it paid off in the fourth quarter because the KC defense was absolutely gassed on that last TD drive that won the game.
Yeah, I think it was with 38, 39 minutes.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's just,
39 minutes.
I kept going, well, gosh, you know, our defense is over there laughing and patting each other on the back, and they're breathing. They're getting a breath. And which in the past seasons, that hadn't happened. They'd go, oh, we already turned it over? Okay.
Oh, you mean we've used up all the oxygen tanks on the sideline? Go get some more, somebody.
Oh, we punted again. Okay, boys, let's go back out and sweat. And that also had a lot to do with the game, too, because they'd come in and they were fresh and they were feeling good. And it was fun to watch. In fact, I'm probably going to watch it again this week. just to look at it. There's a book out. I can't remember who wrote it, but it says, take your eye off the ball. Don't watch where the ball's going. Because naturally, we watch, you know, when the ball is snapped, where it ends up. But watching line play, you know, even though it may seem like it isn't much, is really the secret to the game.
Absolutely.
And that's where it's all really taken care of down there, you know, run blocking and pass blocking. But anyway, it's just fun to watch them.
Well, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, Fred. But this team really hasn't displayed a whole lot of consistency so far. But still, I'll admit I've been wrong about them before, and if you look at from a purely statistical standpoint, the Texans are like 5, 6, 7 plays away from being 6-0, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
However, as Bill O'Brien has always said, you are what your record says you are, and the Texans are not really 6-0, they're 4-2, but they're in first place, and if they beat Indy this weekend...
Yeah, that would pretty much be a division thing. That would be and beating KC is a big deal as far as stats at the end of the season.
Yeah,
you know, head to head,
right?
Tiebreaker stuff, and so anyway, who knows? We just don't know. But if you look at the rest of the schedule, there are a lot of winnable games in there. And at the beginning of the season, I would have gone 8-8 maybe, but I think better than that.
Yeah, I remember you saying 8-8 at the beginning of the season, and I think I said then, well, I'm looking for bigger things than that.
Sure.
But I didn't anticipate the inconsistency and the continued bad scheming that we saw in, like, the Panthers game, for instance. But really, that's kind of the departure from the norm.
Well, it's having Will Fuller. You know, and you look at DeAndre, it's not having a great year, but because he's keeping everybody else busy.
Yep, that's right.
And in a way, that'll probably keep him healthier toward the end of the season, too. He didn't, you know, get nailed and trashed so much. But, boy, he's tough. He's fun. You know, with that one block he broke through,
yep.
And they're going, I got him. No, I don't. You get him. You don't either. Okay.
Well, if they beat Indy, again, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, right?
Oh, that's so cute. Aww.
Like we've never used that one on the radio before.
Oh, gee, what's that? That's write that down. Yeah, we'll be pulling out the tree November 1st. The tree goes up, brother.
Yeah, I know. My daughter-in-law's the same way, brother. We'll talk about that another time. It's still 24 hours till kickoff, but it takes me a while to get my game face on, so I'm going to let you go. Let's hope we can repeat this celebration again next weekend, okay?
Yeah, it's going to be okay, I think.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up.